There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours and lots to do on today's show. And lots already been done. As I showed up here, I'm a home away from home on Dolphin Island. And I show up, get everything set up for today's broadcast. And next thing I know, the mayor of Dolphin Island, my buddy Jeff Collier, comes by. And he's feeding me. Now, it's usually our job is to show up an event and feed everybody else. And Dolphin Island, I show up. And you're feeding me. I like that.
Well, we want people to have fun, and we certainly don't want them to leave hungry. So,
man, there's no way. I just got done, y'all. And I put the picture up on the Twitter feed and on my Instagram feed. You can see the picture of this shrimp and oyster po' boy I just consumed. What a fantastic, and the bread, not only the fresh seafood, but the fantastic bread that went with it. Where'd that come from?
Yep, we got that one from our friends over at Pirates Bar and Grill over at All Dolphin Club. They do a fantastic job.
Well, I'll be probably going back in there so they get ready tomorrow as we come back down the island here and check that out. And also, this is super coveted here. I know because you brought some baked items in from the Lighthouse Bakery. Mm-hmm. And as a man that has spent, I don't know, Jeff, I've spent probably 6 to 7 hours of my life standing in line at that bakery on weekend mornings to get pastries to take back to the family here at the house. The fact that I'm already set up before the weekend starts, I'm a happy man.
You're ahead of the game, right?
I am way ahead of the game.
At least if you're waiting in line there, at least you can enjoy the aroma, you know, while you wait.
Yeah, but that almost makes you crazed by the time you get up there. That's their formula, I think. I was going in to buy like one box of pastries. By the time I get up there, I'm like, give me everything you have.
That's right.
I got to have all the pastries. Listen, these are just some of the things to do on Dolphin Island. It's not all just eating. I'm usually down here fishing, but I do like to sprinkle in the eating with the event. And we got a big holiday weekend coming up.
Well, we do, and of course, we've kicks off tonight. We've got a couple of things going on. We've got the last of our family-friendly movie nights. It's going to be at West End Beach tonight at dusk, and we're showcasing Cars 2.
You couldn't get Jaws 2, Mayor?
Well, we've done that a couple of times.
I know you have.
And I know, against what you tell me, that turns out the biggest crowd. But we got the movie tonight, and those have been sponsored all year by our friends at Greer's Markets, and we really appreciate them partnering with us the last couple of years. And we've had over 3,000 people attend the movies this summer, and we've only got about 24 of them, so it's very well received. It just fits in very well with what we want to be on the island, family friendly, and just a great way to enjoy an evening. The other thing we've got going on tonight, our friends with the Dolphin Island Heritage and Arts Council has one of their last Friday art nights, and that's going to be at their gallery at 918 Bienville Boulevard, and that's from 6 to 8 p.m. It's going to have art demonstrations, food, beverage, friends, music, and no charge. I mean, they do accept donations, but otherwise, just come and have fun.
You know, that's another. I mean, I start thinking about all the different parts of Dolphin Island that make it my favorite. And not only, you know, obviously, I come down here to relax, spend time on the water, but when you come back on shore, and that's one of the things that has been here to some degree over the years, but really, since the oil spill, has made such a change down here. Y'all have, whether it be the movie event, art event, the restaurants, the shops, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on.
It is, and you know, and I've spoken with you a couple other times on the radio, and you know, I kind of point to the oil spill, as bad as it was, we squeezed as much good out as we could, you know, the old making lemonade out of lemons. And I say it all the time, I'm exceptionally proud of our community for withstanding that disaster and hurricanes in the past, things that I said we've had plenty of opportunity for failure, but we've somehow pulled it out. And I'm just proud of what we have. I think we've got a great community. If you can be successful and be what you want to be at the same time, I think that's the best of both worlds.
Okay, well, there's part of it, too, being what you want to be. Because I'm on the way down here, and I saw it today. I see it when I come down here on the weekends. I see a lot more activity down here. I saw building vehicles, you know, people, suppliers for builders and those kind of trucks coming in. There's definitely some activity. People have been working on houses, some new construction down here. But there is a formula y'all have on the island.
Well, it is. I mean, it's called a balance. You know, okay. I mean, and it's one of those things. Of course, some folks will say we're not quite as in balance as they'd like it. But I think for the most part, we've done a really good job. We've got building codes and regulations in place. We've got zoning in place that will, in my opinion, keep Dauphin Island the way that people like it. You know, the charm and the character, that's what folks like about it. And I've said before, you know, it's not only the residents that live here that want it that way, but the visitors do too.
Right.
So for an elected official like myself, it makes it a little simpler because most everybody wants the same thing. And so I do think we're very well positioned. We are experiencing growth, as will happen, but it's being managed in a way that we still end up with the Dauphin Island that everybody knows and loves.
Yeah, the character doesn't change.
That's right, and that's the key.
You know, I was thinking about this, of people coming in. Obviously, I've been coming here, you know, majority since I was 7 years old, been coming down here most of my life. But the people that come from out of town, I mean, I know there were always some in the past, but the number of other people we see. When I pulled up here to set up, a family out of North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
they pulled up and they were talking about the island with me mm-hmm. as I was setting up and talking about their experience here mm-hmm. and how quaint it was and how, you know, they enjoyed the physical beauty of the place. And then they said something like, and we also got a sandwich while we're down here. I said, yeah, it's a great mm-hmm. place. And so they're down here from North Carolina, their first
right.
time on the island,
right.
and they're having a great time. I mean, that's maybe probably farther than people normally travel, but I see plates from, you know,
oh, yeah.
all through the Gulf South here.
Well, when I was at the bakery picking up your goodies, I talked to a guy there that was waiting in line. He was from Kansas. And I said, have you been here before? Oh, yeah, we come here every year, you know. So, yeah, the Dauphin Island, as much as everybody tries to keep it a secret, you know.
Like, he's looking at me when he says that, yes.
Well, I mean, you know, but these folks, we've had folks that come down here for years, and they say, when we go back home, people want to know where we've been on vacation. We don't exactly tell them. You know, we just say we go down to the Gulf Coast.
Right.
So they want to keep it to themselves.
Well, you talk about positioning of the island, and let's just talk about what is true, what people will know. There's, you know, our friends to the east over mm-hmm. here, South Baldwin County. We've mm-hmm. talked about them many times. They have one sort of thing they're doing.
That's right.
Pursuing tourism is and. Mm-hmm. You're not trying to do the same thing on Dauphin Island.
No, not at all. And you know, they both have wonderful communities, you
yes.
know, and they are what they are. They're a cash cow for the state when it comes to taxes.
Yes.
And, you know, no, we're not at all in trying to compete with them. In fact, we're trying to offer a respite, you know.
Right.
You know,
it's an alternative,
right?
It's not a head-to-head.
And the way I've always looked at it, you know, to have such differing coastal communities yet in such close proximity
right.
in one state, is a win-win for everybody, you know, that we attract different customer base, different clientele, and then you connect all that up with a ferry that people can easily hop on the ferry in either direction and experience that other way of life and then go back to where they like the best. And that's what happens.
And it is, you know, you'll see, like in Florida, you can get both areas that have the charm of Dauphin Island and areas that are going on like they are at Gulf Shores and Orange mm-hmm. Beach, but you got to travel
right.
hundreds of miles down the coast to get from
right.
one to the other. Here, like you said, it's just across the mouth
of
the bay.
Here it's a day trip.
Yeah.
And I suggest to folks a lot of times, although, you know, we don't want to send people off the island once they're here necessarily, but, you know, if you can take the ferry across early in the morning and do a circumnavigate Mobile Bay, you know, go over there and visit both the beach communities, go up to Fairhope and all the areas, go to the battleship, go to Bellingraph Gardens, make your way back to Dauphin Island by nightfall and grab you a shrimp po' boy, right?
I tell you what, it is fantastic. I want y'all to stomp on by as we're hanging out here today, and I've got some the new run of FM Talk 106.5 Huggers. I also have the Auburn Huggers, Auburn fans. Coverage tomorrow starts at 11:30 for the Auburn game. I've got your Huggers here with us in the mobile command unit. We are sitting right in front of the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo site, right by where the tarpon gates are. You'll see our vehicle. Stomp on by, grab some of those as we enjoy a Friday midday mobile right here at my home away from home on Dauphin Island. Labor Day weekend coming up, and we'll talk about this more when we return. We'll also keep talking about the island and taking your calls.
I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter, rock and roll. And honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you so. Come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days in a brown early haze, and I just want you back by my side.
listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. And like I said, a tasty start to Midday Mobile today as I started. This will be the first time I've ever started the show with a shrimp and oyster po' boy, but probably not the last. And it is live from Dolphin Island where we're hanging out today. Labor Day weekend, getting ready to get started down here in earnest. We were talking with the mayor about all those things going on. And you said tonight you've got both the art and the movie.
Yep, we got family movie night tonight at West End Beach. Starts at dusk, and we're featuring Cars 2, free of charge, of course. And then we've got the Dolphin Island Arts and Heritage Council is having a last Friday art night at the gallery at 918 Bienville Boulevard, and that runs from 6 to 8 p.m.
All right. This is part of what makes those things that I do off the water even more fun here at Dolphin Island. And let's talk about what's going on the water and the beach. And I'm really excited to get to sit down with this man and talk with Scott Douglas, who's joining us right now on Midday Mobile. Scott, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Talk to me about what you do with the island. What's your job?
Well, I'm retired from the University of South Alabama, and now I'm a consultant to the town of Dolphin Island for coastal engineering.
Coastal engineering. So for somebody who's riding down the road and says coastal engineering, what's that do? What's that job?
That's basically any civil engineering in the wave, tide, and sand environment along the coast.
Man, if I could go back and go to school again, maybe I would. It really does. Sounds fascinating to me as a kid growing up on the beach here, you know, these kind of things. I was doing my own little experiments as a kid, sitting in the water with wind and tide and sand, and you're just doing it at the macro scale. So talk to me about Dolphin Island and other barrier islands and what issues they face.
Well, barrier islands around the country are all facing similar issues. They're basically the shock absorber when a hurricane hits. They take the pounding instead of the mainland.
Right.
And they're designed by, you know, Mother Nature to have to be sandy and be able to move around a lot. And they do move around a lot. And one of the ways they move is sand moves along this coast from east to west. And moves along there from Gulf Shores to Fort Morgan, and then from Fort Morgan out on the Dixie Bar. And in the old days, it would move migrate around to Sand Island Shoals and up on the Dolphin Island. And if without that, you know, that's where all the sand on that makes up Dolphin Island came from. It came out of that sand sharing system.
So, I mean, when people are standing on the island, they're standing on the beach, they're standing right here in the parking lot next to us at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo site. That sand didn't just sprout here. It's come from the east.
All this sand has come here, and yep, sure has.
Okay, so what happens here when you stop that flow?
Well, if you interrupt it, you feel the effects downdrift. It's like taking money out of your bank account. You're going to eventually bounce some checks.
Right.
And we've taken sand out of the system at the ship channel for 50, 60, 70 years.
Right, to deepen that. So yeah, the dredging that goes on deepens that.
Right.
But I would ask this. I've said this before, and I'll say it for effect now. I've talked about this a lot. Why wouldn't you just... Because I think we're all in agreement. Ship channel is a great thing. We're pro ship channel and having a port here that's workable. But why wouldn't you just take the sand? Why wouldn't you just give it a quick lift? Take it from this side of the ship channel and go put it on the other side of the ship channel and let it go about its merry way the way that nature intended it to.
Well, that's exactly what we do at most inlets around the country, most passes. And we have a fancy name. We call it sand bypassing, artificial sand bypassing,
okay,
to replace the natural bypassing that Mother Nature would do if we didn't have to keep the ship channel, you know, 55 feet deep.
Okay, so you said at other inlets around the country. So what we're talking about is happening elsewhere.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it's happening in this state. You go to Perdido Pass, every grain of sand we dredge out of that pass now, we put on the beach immediately to the west in Orange Beach. Same at Little Lagoon Pass. Aldop puts every grain of sand they've dredged out of that pass for the last 20 years on the west side, on the beaches, so it continues to move down.
So we keep our passes open. People can come and go, but the sand gets to go on its merry way
That's right.
Yeah. So what happens here?
Well, here we haul it off into a little bit deeper water, and it's dumping to save some money in the short term, and it sits there. And it's still sitting out there, and it only moves during hurricanes.
And that is, okay, so the sand and the product that's dredged out of the ship channel, is it piped out there or barged out there to this location? And talk about, you said it's out there in a little deeper water. Where are we talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about south of the lighthouse and about 35 feet of water is where they dump almost all the sand. And let's talk about what the sand is.
Yeah.
The sand is mostly beautiful white sand that just fell off Dixie Bar, if you've... right. ever run, been out there. You probably fished on it.
Right.
It just came off the beaches of Fort Morgan in the last year or two, and it gets on Dixie Bar, and then it falls in the ship channel, and we have to get it out for safe navigation.
Right.
The natural controlling depths across that bar, if you would, the Mobile Outer Bar, as the navigators call it, it's 20 feet deep. That's what it was. If that's what it would go back to if we didn't
right.
dredge it.
We like can't all the old it. Maps in my office yeah. at the house that show yeah. the shoaling and the bars, that was 20 feet.
If you knew where to go, you could squeeze through there, draft in 20 feet. You know, that's what the old bar pilots knew how to do in those days. And then as it got deeper and deeper, we had to start, you know, maintaining it.
Okay. And I think I'm just going to circle back for a second because I think it will help them understand this. You just talked about that grain of sand that is now getting taken offshore that, right. that fell off Dixie Bar was there at Fort Morgan before that. And at one point, that grain of sand, let's say for sake of discussion, was moved across the mouth of Perdido Pass and Little Lagoon. Right, it came down from the east and made its way
yep.
down here.
Yep.
But it gets, and it's been moving along, it's been helped with this bypass until it gets to the Mobile Ship Channel.
Right.
And then everything changes.
And then they dredge it and they help put it in about 35 feet of water instead of 20 feet of water. And it stays there until the next hurricane. It moves around a little bit. But
sure. Well, a lot of things get moved during a hurricane. But why wait for that point? Because I think you've described what's going on in inlets around the country and right here at home.
Right.
So, ALDOT knows it works, right? Is the difference the handoff at the ship channel to be the Corps of Engineers versus ALDOT? I mean, is that the difference? Who's in charge? Or does the Corps have any say at Perdido Pass? Do they have any say at Little Lagoon?
Corps does the work at Perdido Pass. ALDOT does it at Little Lagoon.
Okay.
The difference, I guess, is Alabama State Port Authority.
Okay. And once again, if you haven't heard the original story that brought this back up, this subject's been going on a long time, but now the move to straighten out, widen, and deepen the Mobile Ship Channel for some things we've talked about on the show before and some bigger tankers coming in, and I think people are all on board with that. But this is a chance, if we're going to do something new, Scott, this is a chance to say, okay, now this time can we do this bypass?
Yeah, we can have great ship channels and great beaches and Barrier Islands, and we need to.
Okay. You mentioned saving money. Which is I'm having a little bit of trouble with understanding exactly why moving the sand to 35 feet of water to the southwest of the lighthouse is cheaper than moving the sand to just the other side of the ship channel.
It has to do with the equipment. Okay. The Corps of Engineers does a phenomenal job of dredging that ship channel very inexpensively, put it that way. They're great stewards of the taxpayer dollar if you just look at the ship channel. And so they're doing it in the least cost way just for the ship channel. The problem is we'll pay the price when the hurricane hits. When Hurricane Sean comes here next year and blows this island apart, that's the day we pay the price. And if you look back, we paid the price over in Orange Beach when Hurricane Ivan hit for not bypassing sand at Perdido Pass all those years, and now we bypass sand. And the same is true at Little Lagoon. So,
you know, here we had the
in the long run, it's not really saving money.
Right. Well, and you said, and it's fair. I think you're saying what's fair is the Corps of Engineers is doing their job and they're acting efficiently in their dredging. Right. But elsewhere, from it does eventually come from the same bunch of taxpayers, us, y'all, when we have to have whether FEMA response or different responses down here to mitigate loss of sand and land on Dauphin Island, when those projects come in, that money's coming from the same till.
That's right.
It's one of these things that, you know, penny-wise, dollar foolish. I mean, at least that it seems to me, Scott.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, I mean, basically, the analogy of the medical analogy is we have a pretty sick Barrier Island here. It's not been fed for a long time. It needs to be fed. We need to fix this. Two things have to happen for Dauphin Island to survive. Number one, and the far and away the most important thing, is to fix this bypassing thing, because Mother Nature has a way to handle things.
Right.
If you give it enough sand. The second thing would be a beach nourishment project on the west end to restore the last 50, 70 years where we haven't been bypassing sand.
Okay, so what you would do on the east end is to change direction. Now let's start doing this thing, and then compensatory remediation to the west of what was starved down there.
Yeah.
Because in the same way we're traveling, a grain of sand that's here on the east end is eventually going to be down there on the west end,
right? That's right.
All right. We're going to get close here to the break. I'm going to come back and talk more about this. And if y'all have specific questions, too, you can hit us up on the text line or the phone line at 343-0106. We're talking about this subject. It's so great to have Scott on now because I've had so many questions. Have a voice on here that knows exactly why this is happening. So if you have questions about it, it's kind of, you know, a once-in-a-long-lifetime opportunity to get those answered. 343-0106. Midday Mobile. We are live on Dolphin Island on the kickoff of this big Labor Day weekend, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. And sure is a lot of fun hanging out on the home away from home on a Friday, getting ready for the big Labor Day weekend on Dolphin Island. Love for you to stop on by. Just had folks stopping by to get some goodies like the FM Talk 106.5 Huggers, the new run of those. We've got them. That's the red one there, Mayor. We got the blue ones, too. I think I got some green ones, plus Auburn fans. I got Auburn Huggers for you as well, so stop by. We are sitting right here in front of the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo site in the FM Talk 106.5 by van. That's where we're doing the show from, so come by and say hello to us. And it's really, really great to talk about this subject that I've, well, bounced around in a very amateur-like way for all these years, and that is the issues with the Ship Channel and Dolphin Island, to have Scott Douglas in, who by trade is a...
Coastal engineer.
Coastal engineer. In other words, he doesn't just come up with the... He actually has math and science to back what he says, which is a good thing.
An awful lot.
And that math and science, though, does say you got to get the sand back to where it was going in the first place.
Yeah, there's some complex things in coastal engineering, and there's some pretty simple things, and this is one of the fundamentals.
And it is, okay, so we talked about this, and that the Corps, and I get what you're saying, they're doing an efficient job, and I like that. I like a cost-efficient job of dredging the ship channel. But they're part of the federal government, and the other part of the federal government will have to, and we've seen it, Mayor, somebody, they come in with a big remediation around here after a big storm. Heck, we just had the 13th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina this week.
Well, it is, and those are the things that we've tried to point out, is like, you know, whether or not it's cheaper on the front end versus long term, and, you know, we need to look at both ends and see what are we, if what we're doing is the best way to do it, and we think it's not. You know, we think if we invest a little more on the front end and put the sand where it's going to be the most beneficial, that it's going to pay dividends long term, and you know,
yeah, why instead of doing this all of a sudden, Scott, you know, we have to come in here and bring all this sand in to fix this stuff, that sand would have been coming in regularly.
Yeah absolutely. And the thing about it is beautiful white sand.
Yeah.
I mean, that people are paying $100 a cubic yard for sand in Florida right now to nurse their beaches.
Say what?
$100 per cubic yard to nurse their beaches, and because they're having to haul it so far. And they're starving for sand over there. And here we have, you know, a lot of it, and it's beautiful white sand, and we're throwing it away. That just doesn't make sense.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't realize that was the value on that. I mean, I realized the value of it, but I didn't know, like, if you quantified it as a unit of measure, that's what it's... Wow. Okay. What about... Let's talk about some of the remediation that's happened that you know, has come in. We have the East End beach here, that there around the fort. What's the situation? I watched that get built out. We've seen it. Is it moving? Is it staying? What's it doing?
It's doing fantastic. It's only 300,000 cubic yards of sand. When I say only, it's small compared to, you know, the big numbers at the ship channel.
Right.
But it's some 82% of it is all still right where we put it.
Okay.
2 years later, and we know where the other 18% went. It went immediately to the beaches to the west of
right.
it. So. And it's in front of those houses, protecting those houses.
Yeah, and, you know, we've watched this beach come out, but then here's the thing. But then to the west of there, it's starving, yep. Right? You go west of the four-lane down the two-lane, start heading west down the island. The south shore is starving.
Yeah, that west end south shore has, on average, about 300 feet less shoreline. You know, the shoreline's moved 300 feet in the last 50 years. And so the shoreline recession out there is the worst in the state by far. And like I said, it's not a coincidence that it's immediately downdrift of the Federal Ship Channel.
As you try to tackle this, and I want to remind folks, I know, Mayor, we had talked about it before. There's a meeting coming up mm-hmm. in Mobile at the Convention Center, right?
Or is it, next Thursday, September the 6th, from 5:30 to 8 o'clock at the Convention Center. The Corps will be there, and it's one of those where you can kind of walk in and leave at your pleasure. It's an open house, they call it. And so they'll have people there, staff there, posters and other information there where you can walk in and absorb as much information as you can. But more importantly, share your thoughts about, you know, what we think would be a better way to go, and start asking questions and try making recommendations like we're talking about here. Because, as you said a minute ago, Sean, I mean, you know, we were looking at this ship channel project. I feel like it's going to happen. I think everybody believes it's going to happen. I think everybody thinks it should happen.
Yeah.
But we have an opportunity here to incorporate in a more responsible disposal practice, and I just think that's what we need to do. I mean, that we need to quit the talking and let's go ahead and make that happen, because it's going to bring all the good things that we've talked about here and then some, and it's just a matter of getting it over the goal line.
All right, I want to get some questions coming in here for y'all. Scott, this texter says, how many feet above sea level is Dolphin Island? Also, this is a good thing to talk about, too. We noticed after Katrina, too, how is the north side of the island gaining sand? The piers there are high and dry on the north side.
Yeah, how many feet above the sea level is the island? If you go back to the sand dunes, they're about 40 feet above
sea
level.
Yeah, there's some magnums there, you know.
And if you think about it, that's where the old village has always been for a good reason.
That's why the school was just down the hill from the village.
Out on the west end, I think the road's only about 3 or 4 feet above mean sea level.
Okay.
So it's that west end is different, and it overwashes in every major hurricane. And so that's sand that was on the beach is now back on the north side,
and that's where that sand comes from. So there's not—it's not that there hasn't been a gain of new sand coming to the north end. I'm not saying there's not some, but when people saw that big effect, Lord knows we saw it. You know, when people's piers were exactly like that were high and dry, that was sand that was already on the island that's now just moved to a different part of the island.
Absolutely, right. It was on the beach and in those dunes that aren't there anymore. They've blown across the island in the hurricanes.
And I'm sure over time, I mean, I look at the old maps, the island moves, changes, you know, the shape over time changes, but that was still molded by storms, but it was also getting sand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, this island changes for three major reasons. Storms, hurricanes, sea level rise, and it had been coming up in the last 100 years, and the ship channel, basically. And there's only one of those three we can do anything about.
Right. So. Well, and the thing about, you know, looking at the ship channel, we want the ship channel there, and it's not moving this sand is just, in this case, letting nature do the work. I mean, it already, you know, nature, I mean, you move it across, nature's going to bring us the sand, right? We're going to get that, you know, we could sell the sand to Florida, and eventually it's going to make its way back here.
That's right.
don't say that.
That's right. No,
so, you know, we're going to loan it to y'all. Right. We're going to give it to you in Florida, and eventually it'll make it back to our neck of the Gulf Coast. So what can folks, if they come to that meeting there, also, I mean, who do they need to, call representation? I mean, this is a Washington thing, right, Mayor Collins?
I've always felt like it is eventually a political issue. It's a political decision ultimately, and I think that our congressional delegation is probably the primary outreach point. And you know, they've been, you know, to the extent doing what they can do, I guess, but certainly they're going to have to lead the charge, if you will, on the Washington, D.C. level. And I think also the state, you know, I've mentioned that to you as well. You know, this is a, you know, Scott just said the $100 a cubic yard. I mean, I've always referenced it as a very valuable natural resource, and we as a state ought to be much better at taking care, being better stewards of that, and that includes putting it in a place where it's going to give us the most bang for the buck.
Sure.
And we're not doing that. So I think it is a political issue for the most part, because as we've said, the Corps is essentially doing what they're charged to do. Now, they do have some flexibility that they can pay a little bit more than the cheapest way if they can demonstrate that it's for good cause. So they do have a little bit of flexibility.
To me, saving millions to taxpayers when the storm comes is a great cause.
I agree, but if they're not willing or able to do that, then it goes up the chain to the federal government, essentially, that can make the decision to, as we've said many, many times, let's take this new project, let's fold in a more responsible, smarter, more beneficial disposal practice, and we'll have a channel, and we'll have a barrier island that's more resilient as well. And we keep talking about Dauphin Island. I always remind folks of this. Dauphin Island the whole region is at risk here, because as Dauphin Island deteriorates or is less dynamic, if you will, that makes South Mobile County more vulnerable.
It affects our
salt marshes, seafood industry. So it's a much broader scale than just the island.
Yeah, so I mean, I would imagine now, I know that you have a difference of having the entirety of the Eastern Shore, but Scott, I mean, could you say that there's a lack of that sediment in some cases, pretty white sand in others, everything west of the ship channel? I mean, does it, you know, if you dredge a ship channel, that's, you know, if it was coming from east to west, does it just do it right along the coast, or is there any of that process inside the bay?
No, it's all really right along the coast. Everything we're talking about. There is sediment up there they have to dredge, but it's that fine mud.
So. Right.
And that's
river,
not
river silk versus I'm just wondering, as you look at places, because I'm thinking, you know, I know the mayor's talking about protecting places like Bilobatry and Codan and those places from the south, but I also wonder how much is supposed to come in out of the bay into Mississippi Sound to move down that way. Is
right.
It not much?
No, there's not much white sand
okay.
back there.
Right, yeah. Right. You know, I've had my feet in that mud my whole life. Yeah, I can tell you there's not much white sand. But you look at places like some of the islands there in Portersville Bay and some of the projects you're going on there to rebuild those. I know there's some, at some level, I don't know, is that fine oyster sand or is that sand? I don't know.
They actually don't have a whole lot of sand. That's one of the
That's what they're
calls.
Trying to yeah, trying right. to yeah. deal with that.
Yeah. One of the...
Let's do this. We're up against the news break.
Okay.
Go, hold on.
Okay.
All right, coming right back. More of this discussion and your questions at 343-0106. 343-0106. We'll get those on the text line and get them answered right here. We are live on Dauphin Island right here at the Alabama Deep Sea Fish and Rodeo site. Stop on by, grab one of those brand new FM Talk 106.5 huggers.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live from Dauphin Island on this Labor Day Friday, getting ready for the weekend. And it's been a real treat so far. Number one, start off with a fantastic oyster and shrimp po' boy and some talk about a subject y'all know I've talked about over the years on this show, and to have Scott Douglas to tell us about this from a coastal engineer's perspective instead of just making, you know, up a theory or opinion. The man has science and mathematics and experience behind him, so it really is a treat to get to talk with you about this. Thank you. Here somebody says, what... You said that in other places that they do bypass the sand. Why not here? But you did say we are here at some level, meaning Alabama.
Yeah, we are at Perdido Pass. We are at Little Lagoon Pass.
Okay, so those two places, the process that would be good for Dauphin Island, this direct bypass from dredge it here and put it, just help it skip over the road right there, cross the road.
That's right. That's it.
We are doing that here.
Yeah, absolutely. Aldot. Every grain of sand they dredge goes right on the beach of the West Beach. And Perdido Pass, for the last 15 years, Corps of Engineers, every grain of sand they dredge gone on the beaches of Orange Beach.
Now, I understand the scope of dredging the Mobile Ship Channel and the scope of dredging Perdido Pass are different. I do understand that. But at some level, if it is more cost-effective, as you said, now they're doing it efficient to move that sand off. But they're bucking that trend at Perdido Pass.
Yeah, and it's a resilience thing. The downdrift properties need that sand for resilience.
Well, wait a second, Scott. So the downdrift, so down further down where the sand goes, further down its trail as it heads on west, they need the sand.
Absolutely.
Didn't you just define what we're talking about for Dauphin Island?
Yes. That's exactly what we need here, too.
So they admit that they're doing the bypass there because the downdrift areas need the sand.
Yep.
It seems to have answered our question right here, doesn't it?
It certainly does. I mean, it really is that simple.
I mean, there it is. And this is something that, you know, Mayor, you may mentioned. I mean, this is a... When you're dredging, if you didn't have anybody who wanted the sand, mm-hmm. you'd have an issue. This is a cost. This is an impediment to this process. But there's somebody going, hey, we're right here. We'll take it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, meeting coming up on the 6th?
Yeah, the Corps is hosting an open house meeting at the Convention Center on September the 6th from 5:30 to 8 p.m., and it's kind of a walk-in, come and go as you please, and we encourage people to come and get more acquainted with what's being provided and what's being suggested, and make comments, you know, offer suggestions that hopefully will support what we're suggesting here, because it seems to make good sense, and it's just something that we really need to do, and we as members of the state, you know, need to require that. You know, this is just a wasteful way of getting rid of a very valuable product, and we got to do better than that.
All right, this coming in text here from Ted. Okay, based on what you just said, wouldn't the sand that leaves Dauphin Island eventually go to the Mississippi Barrier Islands?
Yeah, Ted's absolutely right. It does. It does.
So like Petty Boy and Horn and on down the...
Yeah, and they're spending about $500 million to renourish those uninhabited Barrier Islands now. And in the long run, and I'm talking the real long run, like decades, we need to put sand on this island so it continues to move that way. Remember, so Petty Boy used to be partly in the state of Alabama. It migrated totally into Mississippi.
Now, if y'all think about where the line, you know, I can't ever tell, you know, they don't have it marked real well on the water when I cross it, but looking at the maps, you can absolutely see that. If you look at over time, you know, moving as you cross that line heading to the west, yeah, Petty Boy is nowhere near, at least the way I gauge it, looking at the GPS, nowhere near Alabama at this point. I mean, it's not on the line at this point.
No, it's 4 or 5 miles away, right. I believe, yeah.
And it moved, and there is some natural movement,
yep,
of these islands,
yep, mm-hmm,
but they're always being replenished on their east ends with sand.
Yep, the updrift side. Yep.
So okay, so I mean, this goes beyond just talking about Alabama politics, but wouldn't this be anybody downdrift? Is the term, Scott? Anybody downdrift? Don't they have a dog in this hunt right here?
In the long run, Mississippi will benefit from fixing the bypassing here. Absolutely.
And Scott, I mean, if I can interject here, Sean, you know, what Scott's referring to, the Mississippi Coastal Improvement Plan, which was a product of a post-Katrina program, which, as he said, upwards of $450 million to reestablish and make their coastline more sustainable and resilient. And within that report, Dauphin Island is referenced numerous times as being the upland motherlode, if you will, island. And so their islands, yes, does depend on the health of Dauphin Island. And, you know, it's unfortunate that because it was a Mississippi project, Dauphin Island, even though it was mentioned in there, it was part of the study, it wasn't one of the recipients of the sand. So that's unfortunate.
I want to go to the phones here. Jeff's in Spanish Fort and has a question. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how y'all doing? Hey,
good.
Mr. Douglas, I was just wondering, what would be the impact, positive or negative, of reopening the channel there at the Dauphin Island Pier?
Hey, did you hear the question?
Yeah, he asked me, what about it reopening the channel at Dauphin Island Pier?
Yes.
Correct. Does that help with the migration?
No, I don't think so. I think what's going on there now is actually a positive for the island of Dauphin Island.
That's one place that seems to be growing.
Yeah, all that sand is slowly welding on shore. And what you're seeing going on there in before our very eyes is geology happening before our very eyes. And
Talk about that process, yeah.
That's happened twice before in recorded history, about 150 years ago and about 300 years ago, where Pelican Island, if you want to call it that, just welded right onto Dauphin Island. And I don't think we want to fight those forces. And there's about 3 million cubic yards of sand that are coming on shore very slowly. I call it a very slow beach nourishment project. And the condos, which are right there, their beaches, they're actually getting complaints for the beach being too wide.
Yeah, it's a good hike out there. But, you know, that's a good problem to have there.
That's
but
right.
That is that's not the situation. I mean, you can watch, you can go look, heck, you can go get on Google Earth right now if you want to, or go walk down here on the island and see that it makes a very big, sharp angle back into the beach as you go west.
And I've said for the last 10 years, Dauphin Island has one of the best beach walks in the world right now. I mean, you can, where else can you get a condo on a barrier island and walk out your front door, essentially, and walk out onto an uninhabited barrier island for 2 miles.
Yeah, absolutely.
And see all the wildlife out there. It's just spectacular. Best beach walk in America.
And there's
probably, going away, by the way. It'll be gone in 10 years.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. Yeah. There's probably a chance that here in our lifetimes that it'll be back to, you know, I mean, right at the end of the pier, I used to bring my boat right past there, heading to the southwest, and I'll probably do that again one day, Scott, do you think?
And that brings up something I started to say right before the break, and that is, you know, we can fight Mother Nature, or we can work with Mother Nature, and it sure is a lot cheaper when we work with her.
Well said. Well said. Thank you for your time. Thanks for this information.
Okay.
Scott Douglas, I appreciate it. We're hanging out right here on Dolphin Island. We're coming back with more from Dolphin Island. Mayor Jeff Collier has fed me, and so we may stay here for the rest of the evening. We may push on through the Paul Feinbaum show. We're good. Love you. Come on by. Grab some FM Talk 106.5 Huggers. The new run is out, and we'll hook you up with those. Stop on by and see us. We're coming right back.